In 2 Timothy 2:15, again, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we'll look at some stuff here today that will hopefully enhance your Bible reading and Bible studies. So when you're looking at the Bible, we got the Old Testament and the New Testament. Of course, here's our general layout on the timeline. Old Testament law, the blood of Christ is shed. We have a New Testament in the blood of Christ, church age, the rapture, and then the tribulation time, time of Jacob's troubles, time for appointed to Daniel's people, which is a seven-year period, and the last three and a half, great tribulation. Then the battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ comes back, defeats the beast, the false prophet, cast him in a lake of fire. He rules and reigns for 1,000 years. While the devil's bound for 1,000 years, he looses the devil for a season. The devil comes up and gets all the people against Jerusalem and God's people, and God sends down fire from heaven and devours them in a great white throne judgment in eternity. We'll leave the great white throne judgment off here right now. So when you're reading the Bible, in the Old Testament, we have... I'm going to run plumb out of black. I'm going to use some different colors here. I'm going to have Genesis to Malachi, the books, Old Testament books. Then when you get up here past Malachi, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we've talked about the fact that there's a difference in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from the rest of the New Testament books. But Genesis through Malachi is in the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is placed in what we call the New Testament. But if you remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are before Calvary until the end. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written to a time right around in here, primarily. And in the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is crucified. And then we have the New Testament and His blood. Now, something. Remember the three disciples that were closest to Jesus: Peter, James, and John. So, John had a special place in relationship to Jesus Christ. He was the one that was probably closest to Jesus Christ of all the disciples, and he's a type of the church. So John is a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke has a very distinct Old Testament law setting flavor. And remember, Jesus Christ's ministry was to the house of Israel, to the Jews. 99% of his ministry was to the Jews. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the biggest part of those books, are written in an Old Testament setting before the crucifixion. Now, John is too, but John is showing some things in a prophetic manner that I believe Jesus Christ gave him and him alone, talking about the church and pointing to the church. I remember in the Old Testament, nobody was born again. In John chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, but I believe he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again, because Nicodemus came to him with the right heart, really wanting truth. He didn't come to him like the rest of the Pharisees, trying to challenge him and to trip him up. He came to him by night, which means he was honestly looking for an answer. He wasn't going when everybody else was around. He was sneaking off to Jesus saying, hey, tell me what's going on here. So in John chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again, individually. It's talking about an individual, to an individual. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament setting until the crucifixion, but John is given a prophetic, he's given more light He's given more light for church age. What happened there? But he's given more light. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to remember that. Especially Matthew. I mean, good night. There are about 15 different denominations made out of Matthew that are wrong, you know. And they try to apply everything in Matthew to the church, and it just becomes a mess. So, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to have enough board to do what I want to do here. What we'll do is, in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, but when you're reading books like Ezekiel, Isaiah, what in the world did I do? Spell Isaiah for me. I-A-H. That's what I had, and it didn't look right. Okay, so Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, books like, etc., books like that, and Daniel. They are all, there's a lot of prophetic things coming from these books that are pointing up here. So, in the Old Testament, you can't. It's not just a simple splitting it up, Old Testament, New Testament. Isaiah 9 talks about the coming Messiah, talks about a kingdom that'll be no end, so it's pointing over here. Zechariah, Zephaniah, they're talking about, and Ezekiel talking about restored Israel, and Ezekiel talking about a time period up here at tribulation and millennial reign. Remember, most of the Bible, the biggest part of the Old Testament prophecy is pointing toward the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. So these Old Testament books, when you're reading them, especially when you're looking at Daniel's pointing to the tribulation, and then these other ones are pointing, a lot of the times, pointing to the millennial reign of Christ. And that's pretty easy to see when you're reading it. It's kind of hard to figure out where, when it's talking about the day of Christ and the day of the Lord, it's talking about a different thing. But it's kind of hard to figure out exactly sometimes where it's talking about, whether it's Armageddon or Gog and Magog or what. But you know that those books, when they're not making sense to you, and it's talking about the day of the Lord and the battles and stuff like that, it's talking about the end of the tribulation and the end of the millennial reign. And again, I say the end of the millennial reign, that kingdom will not end, but his thousand-year reign will come to a halt here. And I believe it's handed over to David, and it's an eternal kingdom. Now, when you get in the New Testament, again, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are primarily Old Testament setting. Then you have the book of Acts. And Acts is a transitional book that's primarily pointing to this early church age. And Acts is a book that's transitioning from Jews to the church. Well, let's put it this way. Jews to Gentiles. So it has a Jewish focus until you get about Acts chapter 8, and it starts shifting gears toward the Gentiles. And it's a transition book all the way through the end until finally Paul says, you've deemed yourselves unworthy of, I don't remember the exact wording, so now I'm going to the Gentiles. So Acts is there. And we'll look at, let's see here. Hebrews. James, Revelation. So Hebrews is written to Hebrews. So it doesn't fit to the church age. There's some things in there we can apply to the church age, but Hebrews is primarily written to this tribulation age. This is going to get to be a real confusing mess if I keep drawing lines up here. The book of James. Remember, we had Peter, James, and John. John wrote 5 books of the New Testament. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And Revelation. So I was counting 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I'm trying to get my shoes off so I can get to 5. Anyway, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, John, and Revelation. So John wrote 5 books of the New Testament. Peter wrote a couple books. And then you get to the book of James, and they're like, well, we don't know who wrote that. We think it was James, Jesus' brother. Well, it wasn't James. I don't believe it was James, Jesus' brother, because there were 3 different James mentioned, at least. But anyway, that Jesus, it doesn't say Jesus' brother. It says James is the brother of John. So there was a James that was, I believe he was beheaded in the early book of Acts, like Acts chapter 10 or 11 or 12. 11 or 12, I think it was 12. So the things that are written in the book of James are more geared toward it's to the 12 tribes of Israel. So obviously that's not a church age book. But it talks about the 12 tribes scattered abroad, and here at the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, I think it was, when Stephen's stoned to death, the 12 tribes are scattered abroad. So it looks like the book of James was written back here in the early church age when they were dealing primarily with the Jews. And I believe it's the James, Peter, James, and John. Because why would the 3 closest, 2 of them write a book and 1 not? But his is primarily Jewish. And I mean, just to the 12 tribes of Israel, it's written, everything in this, and that's people get a lot of false doctrine. Oh, you got to work for salvation. Well, they get it out of the book of James. And we're not the tribes of Israel. Nobody saved is the tribe of Israel. We're not Jew or Gentile in Christ anymore. There's no Jew or Gentile. So James is written probably back here. But the reason I believe the Lord allowed him to write that and inspired that book is because even though he wrote it here and didn't understand exactly what he was writing, it goes here to the tribulation time. So David in the Old Testament, when he was writing the Psalms, he was writing things that applied to Jesus Christ, and he didn't even know what he was doing. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell and stuff like that. He was writing things that applied to Jesus Christ, and David didn't even know what he was saying, but God had him say it. So just because James was writing something over here doesn't mean God didn't intend for him to write it about here. He didn't understand exactly everything. We don't understand exactly everything we do, right? And if God inspires something, we might do it and not understand it until later, maybe not until we get to heaven. Who knows? Maybe never. But anyway, James is written around this area, it looks like, by a James that was not Jesus' brother, for the tribulation. So Hebrews and James are both Jewish books. They're not church-age doctrine books. And you can get some things out of both those books that'll help you, but it's not for church-age doctrine. So when people say, oh, you got to work for salvation, and they go to the book of James, you go, okay, go to James chapter 1. If you look at James chapter 1 with me, just take a right from 2 Timothy there, a ways. The very first book, or the very first verse says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Then he says, my brethren. And people go, well, it's the book of James is written to the church. See, he's calling him brethren. Well, he's a Jew. James is a Jew writing to the Jews, and the next word he says after the 12 tribes of Israel is brethren. When Jesus Christ said, when you've done this to me, you've done it at least to my brethren, you've done this to me, he's talking about Jews. He's not talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And here they're talking about Jews. Paul said that Paul's heart was that his brethren might be saved, that Israel might be saved. He had a heart for his brethren, the Jews, but his spiritual brethren are the saved folks. This is talking about the Jews. So So, well, no, it says the brethren. It's talking about the Jew. It's talking about the church. No, it's not. 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, my brethren, count on all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Where are they going to fall into diverse temptations? They're going to be tempted to do a lot of things against God so they can live in tribulation. They're going to be tempted to take the mark. They'll be tempted to worship the beast. They'll be tempted to do all kinds of things. But if they endure the end, God's going to bring them through the millennial reign. Now, the ones that maybe won't take the mark, some of them will be beheaded for the cause of Christ in here. But the ones that ye that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and he takes care of them there, he's going to bring them on into the millennial reign. He's going to save them physically from physical destruction here. And the other folks that are beheaded, they're going to be saved spiritually by keeping the testimony of Jesus Christ and not taking the mark and not worshiping the beast. So Hebrews and James, when you're reading it, is talking to the Jews in primarily tribulation time. The book of Revelation, of course, we know, you know, first three chapters talking about the church, spiritually speaking, four, rapture, John's raptured up. Let's say 6 through 19 or so, we're talking about tribulation. 20 through 22, we're talking about millennial reign and eternity. So when you're reading the Bible, that's how it breaks up. I know this is really, that chicken scratch is really confusing, but Genesis to Malachi, just because it's in the Old Testament, it's not all talking about the law or anything. It's pointing up here to a time where Jesus Christ is going to reign, a lot of it. And we talked about this before. When Jesus Christ told his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, well, they're going to be praying that over here. They prayed it over here. They didn't understand. They didn't understand the church age, all that. They didn't understand all this, but they knew that prayer. And boy, when they get over here, they're going to look at that prayer again seriously. Because Jesus Christ's ministry was to the Jews. The Jews are going to be over here, and they're going to have Moses and Elijah doing miracles and performing signs and wonders because the Jews require a sign. And then they're going to have 144,000 probably doing the same thing. And they're going to be pointing to Jesus Christ. And they're going to get a hold of this. And they're going to say, oh, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's a kingdom right here that is not God's kingdom. It's the kingdom of the devil. And that last 3.5 years, they're going to really start praying, thy kingdom come. And that's why I believe that everlasting gospel that the angel's talking about in the tribulation time is talking about, hang on, there's an everlasting kingdom coming. And it's the right one. If you can just weather the storm and trust me, I'll get you through this and take you into the right kingdom. So that's the deal. Daniel, pointing to tribulation time primarily when you're looking at Daniel 70 weeks. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, etc. down the line is pointing over here toward tribulation and primarily a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, especially Matthew, very strongly pointing to pre-Calvary setting, talking to the Jews. And John is given a little more light since he's a type of the church. And, you know, in Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, it says, verse 37, they say, what must we do? Because Peter just told them, or they were just told that they had crucified the Messiah. And they said, what must we do? They're talking about us as a nation. What must Israel do as a nation? He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So, you know, the Church of Christ and a bunch of other churches, they take that and say, see right there, it's water baptism that saved you. Well, he's talking to Jews because they crucified their Messiah. They killed their king. So he's talking to the Jews. We'll say, well, it's an individual thing. No, it's not. He said, we. What must we do as a nation? The nation, your nation is toast because you just killed your king. Oh, what must we do? He said, well, you mean to tell me that they expected everybody to repent and be baptized? They expected all of them to be circumcised? All the males. It's a national deal they were dealing with. And we know it's national because Stephen's still preaching to him a few chapters later in chapter 7, telling the nation, if the nation was get right, Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of God the Father to come back down. Now, I'm not exactly sure how that all would have played out if he'd come back down then, where we'd have been, tribulation, 1,000-year reign. I'm not exactly sure about that. We've got different opinions on that. But he was ready to come back in Acts chapter 7. So God's still dealing with them as a nation, but he's transitioning away from their nation to the Gentiles, to individuals, in the book of Acts. So when you're reading those things, that's what's going on. It's a transition. And then again, Hebrews and James are primarily, I mean, they are written to the Hebrews, to the 12 tribes of Israel, to James's brethren, the Jews, and it's pointing toward this time. And I mean, we could go through there and read more. Verse 3 of James chapter 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So here, and that's good, that we can spiritually and practically apply that for us, but that's talking to the Jews in the tribulation. What's going to happen? Their faith, they're just going to start to waver. I mean, they're getting hungry, they're getting thirsty. What's he say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth it to all men liberally. So the wisdom is how to deal with things and how to go forward. And let him ask in faith, not wavering. Wait a minute, let's back up to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So they're going to need wisdom, but they're also going to need things. And God's going to supply some things for them. Let's see. There's another verse in here that comes to my mind, but I'm not sure where it's at in James. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So what they're going to be looking for somebody to take care of their needs. And them gifts are coming from above. What did he send from above in the Old Testament? Manna from heaven. What did he send here? Jesus Christ, manna from heaven. Every good gift and perfect gift from above. So that's a type in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a spiritual representation of what they're going to do physically here. Physically, they're going to take care of manna from heaven again. So it's obviously looking at a tribulation time to the Jews. And then again, we've sliced and diced Revelation pretty good. I mean, we've still got a lot of studying we could do in there, but you got a pretty good understanding of what's going on in Revelation. When you're into them seals opening and all that stuff, it's not the church age. We're out of here before that. It's up in here. So that's the deal when you're reading through here. In the Old Testament, a lot of the books are pointing up past the church age prophetically. Because remember, the Old Testament prophets, they didn't see a church age. They see the first coming and the second coming, but they looked like one coming. And it would have been one coming if they accepted their king. But since they rejected him and he was crucified, then God has this pause in the time, the 70 weeks of Daniel. He has a pause there between the 69th and 70th week, which is the church age, which these folks couldn't see. They weren't looking at that. They were looking at a kingdom. So these from the Old Testament, they're looking at here at a kingdom. Of course, Daniel, like I said, he's looking at tribulation time too. Talk about the Antichrist coming. But and there's a lot in these other books, Zechariah, Zephaniah, about the Antichrist too, but primarily the focus is up here, tribulation, thousand-year reign. Primarily thousand-year reign. So the Old Testament prophecies, the book of Joel is another one. The book of Joel, a lot of people get all hung up and goofed up there because they're like, well, no, my uncle, he's got the gift of healing, and my aunt, she's a preacher, and my dog has visions or whatever's going on with them. You know, they're having they're eating pizza too late, or they're on mushrooms or something, some of that dope they're taking or something. But anyway, they're having visions. It says, see right there in Joel, it says young men, they'll dream dreams and see visions and all that. Well, he's talking about a time for the Jews. He's not talking about church age, but they like to plug that into the church age right after they get quote unquote saved by water baptism or something. And they want to be speaking in tongues and doing something else and blaming it on God. And really, it's just they're confused about where they're at in the timeline. But the main thing to remember, Old Testament, there's a lot of prophecy about the tribulation time and a whole lot of prophecy about thousand-year reign. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before Calvary. John's the only one that has any real good light on the church age. Matthew is very, very, very strong Jewish, talking about a time here under this setting and a time up here where there's going to be tribulation and millennial reign, but it's talking about a judgment of nations also in Matthew, where it's talking about the sheep and goat nations. And it says nations. It doesn't say sheep and goats. It says sheep and goat nations. Judging nations is like sheep and goats. So that's right up here. And those nations are judged according to how they treated Christ's brethren, the Jews, in the tribulation. And then Hebrews and James, tribulation, Revelation. Of course, you know how that looks like it breaks down pretty easily. Church, rapture, tribulation, and then millennial reign and on into eternity. Any questions on that? Is that confusing enough? Just don't let somebody draw you away with some crazy wind of doctrine out of these books. Especially Hebrews and James, but Matthew and Acts too. But Matthew, Acts, Hebrews, and James are the four most dangerous books for people to get all goofed up on. I mean, the book says rightly divide. There's got to be right divisions. And what are you dividing? And people say, well, there's no difference. Well, they divide between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everybody does that. They don't know where to stop and start, which it is kind of confusing where it starts and stops. But we know there can't be a New Testament without death of the testator. We know the Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. They didn't go to heaven until Jesus Christ went down there and took them out. And, there's definitely differences. David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. He could lose the Holy Spirit, apparently. The church age, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. You're saved and sealed by it. And it's an earnest. It's a down payment to the redemption of the body at the rapture. So, does that help? Was that too much? Was that too fast? Was that... What's that? Psalms is everywhere. I mean, Psalms is over here with David in his trial and tribulation, which is a type of tribulation. And Psalm is over here at the crucifixion, where he's talking about Jesus Christ. And some of Psalm is over here, tribulation and millennial reign. The book of Job is... amazing picture of tribulation time. Tribulation, remember, the Great Tribulation is 42 months. That lasts 3.5 years, and Job's 42 chapters. It's just amazing the way that accidentally come together, right? Like God put that thing together. But Job is a type of the tribulation Jew. They lose everything, but they get back more than they lost. Isn't that good? And what do they lose? Well, I mean, you're talking about Jewish people. What are Jewish people known for? Their financial ability. I mean, they could take a penny and squeeze $2 out of it, right? And they're really good with finances, and part of it's because God's blessed them with wisdom. But they take the blessing and they turn it into an idol almost, which is what we do. That's what humans do. We're goofballs. We're a mess. But in this tribulation time, they're going to be tempted, because here these Jews that had stuff, that had all these blessings, they're going to have anything. They're going to be heading for the hills. And they're going to watch the Jews and the people that took the mark have everything that they want, like food and water and be able to buy, sell, and trade. So it's going to be really tough for some of them. But that's why God gives them a book to tell them, hey, you just hang on. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. They got to be up there in the mountains going, I don't know. That last bread didn't quite do it. I sure use some more. And, I love the Lord. I believe Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, but maybe I should just go down there and take the mark. I mean, I do. I believe in Christ. Maybe I should go down there and take the mark and worship that beast. Just get me some turkey, not pork, right? No pork for the Jews, but a turkey to put on that bread or something like that. They're probably thinking, yeah, I had it really good until. You ever thought that? You ever looked at the lost people and see lost people that look like they're just good, everything's going good? And saved people are just getting their rear end handed to them. I mean, getting their teeth kicked down their throat. And you're like, man, that ain't right. And the Lord's like, oh, hang on. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Practically, that, and historically, that's right here. And doctrine, that's right here. But that's also for us, too. I mean, we're not enduring for salvation, but he's going to bring us through. We're waiting for this, the rapture. Yeah. Today'd be good. But Testament. That's the way it is in the Old Testament. A lot of the books are pointing way up past the church age. Didn't even know the church age was going to be here. You get in the New Testament portion of the book. Some of the books are written in an Old Testament setting. Jesus Christ's ministry was primarily to the Jews. John's showing some light on the church age because John's a type of the church. Hebrews and James are written to the tribulation Jews. Hebrews are obviously Jews. James written to the 12 tribes of Israel. That seems pretty obvious to at least me. The first verse says to the 12 tribes of Israel. And in Revelation, it's talking about things that are future. And the book was written in 90 AD. So things can't be future if it was all fulfilled before 70 AD. And people say, well, it was fulfilled at 70 AD, Titus, and then when they destroyed Jerusalem and all that. No, because the book was written in 90 AD about future things. And some of these things have not come to pass. That's just like the book of Daniel. When has everlasting righteousness been brought in and the sin of the Jews been wiped away? Their iniquity's been wiped away. It hasn't yet, but it will be. I mean, you could say, well, Jesus Christ is everlasting righteousness and he paid the sin debt of the world. That's true. But the sin debt of Israel's still lost and still out without their Messiah. So that hasn't been fulfilled yet in Daniel's 70 weeks. And that's why we know that that's a future event, the fulfillment of that. So, anyway, I don't know if you take a picture of that, it'd probably break your camera. But any questions? Any comments other than my artwork? You guys, I'm confused. You guys aren't? No. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take a break. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the opportunity to read your word. Help us to rightly divide. Help us to stand on it till you call us out of here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Please bless the service this morning. Have your hand and power on it. And give people safe travels that are traveling in right now. Give us all safe travels out. Oh, Lord, that you'd call us out today. It'd be a good day singing praises to your name. And Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus, we're looking for you. Bless your word as it's taught and preached today. In Jesus' name, amen.